Proclaim October 1, 2013 to be Build Gateway Green Day in Portland.
Well, a lot of people in this community, including people on this council and others in this room, have spent a lot of time cooperating, dreaming, and now moving forward the idea of Gateway Green. So I have a proclamation to read, and then we'll invite Mr. Gilbert up and maybe others that are here to talk about it. And again, our Parks Commissioner, our previous Parks Commissioner, Steve and I as well, all of us have taken an active interest in this bold and good idea, so I'm glad that we can give it a little highlighting today and talk about the next chapter. The resolution says, whereas Gateway Green is 38 acres of unused, partially wooded land in East Portland between I-84 and I-205, after years of grassroots support and partnerships with local, regional, and state government and private and nonprofit sectors, the community has the opportunity to transform this asset into Gateway Green, a community park and multi-use bike venue. And whereas the Gateway area of Portland is a park-deficient area, and creating a park at Gateway Green will contribute to economic development, health, and livability of this vibrant area of the city. And whereas the City of Portland is committed to buy the land from ODOT and operate the park once it's constructed, park designers are ready to contribute to the design of the park, and the community is excited about its development. Whereas over 500 people participated in the Oregon Kitchen Table consultation about the use of the park, with the results emphasizing the importance of youth biking opportunities, single-track bike trails, picnic facilities, nature play areas for children, and paths for walking and jogging. And whereas Friends of Gateway Green, with support of Oregon Solutions, has launched a crowdfunding campaign on the Indiegogo site to collect contributions from the community and to fund the design of the park. Now, therefore, I, Charlie Hales, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim October 1st, 2013, to be Build Gateway Green Day in Portland and urge the community to spread the word about Gateway Green crowdfunding and get involved. So with that, Ted Gilbert, please come forward and tell us what's next. Thank you for being here this morning.
Mayor and commissioners, I've been asked to come and speak a bit about this project, but I realize that all of you are either somewhat or quite familiar with it. So really what I'd like to do is just give you a brief update and start by saying that in our community, sometimes even the wildest of ideas work. And this one, to take a large chunk of long unloved right-of-way and turn it into a regional recreational destination, and in so doing, rebranding the geographic area of most need in our community, more and more is looking like it's going to be one of those. Just a brief update, as you mentioned, ODOT, I won't pretend that it's been quick. It's been 8 years in the making, but all in all, it has been remarkable. ODOT is essentially donating the land. City Council, including some of you, committed that if we'll come up with the money to build it, you will take it on as a city park. We've identified a couple of grants that we've been invited to apply for that could come up with much of the money. We have some of the premier designers of these facilities in the world that happen to be headquartered in Portland, Oregon, and said they would like to donate some of their time to show what they can do in their own backyard. And now Oregon Solutions comes to us and says, we want to see if we can take on an experiment that this new effort called crowdfunding can be used to bring private sector resources to leverage scarce public resources to create community projects around the state. And they needed a beta site to try it. So we're trying this grand experiment that's underway. I have some thanks in order. Giving credit where it's due, former Mayor Adams was quite helpful in this effort. Commissioner Fritz, in your professional capacity as Parks Commissioner, but I can also verify that you've invested personal sweat equity in this project. That was really fun, and I appreciate that very much. Commissioner Fish, years of leadership and assistance have been invaluable. So now I'll just finish with a shameless plug. We're 13 days left in this crowdfund. Your personal involvement would be gratefully appreciated, as has been all the efforts to date. So if you have any questions, great, but thank you all very much.
Mr. Gilbert, some of the people at home and I, until you informed me about this crowdfunding thing, might not know what it is that you're talking about and how they could get involved. So if you'd like to explain what it is and how people can contribute, that would be helpful.
If you have access to a computer, it's as easy as going to it and pressing a button. The website, and I'll give you each a copy of this and provide it to council. It's http://www.indiegogo.com/projects/build-gateway-green. You go on that site, there's a video, there's lots of explanation. You can track how the progress of the campaign is going. It started off like a rocket. We're getting a regular flow, but we have a ways to go to hit our goal. And we've set an ambitious goal. We've learned that 1% of all the crowd funds raise $100,000, and we're seeking to be that 1%. So we're on our way, more than on our way. We have an announcement on Friday that's going to take us a substantial further way there. But if people want to go, they'll learn more. And if they want to press that button, it would be gratefully appreciated.
And my understanding is that it's not as well as the goal of $100,000, and I know we're over 50, is that right, already?
As of this morning, I believe it was 56 with, I think, almost 500 people that have pitched in.
And my understanding is it's not only the dollar amount, it's the number of people who participate. So even if you can only give $5, that would be very helpful. You can just Google Gateway Green, and you'll be able to find the way to that site very easily. And I'll put the link on the front page of my website.
Terrific. Too. Appreciate it.
Mayor, if I could also just add, there's a reason in the last 5 years that East Portland has seen not only a change in the relationship with this building, but more resources, more focus, and projects like this moving forward. And that's because we've had great grassroots activists who built relationships and then have been relentless. Ted and Linda Robinson on this project have just been indefatigable. And it takes a local champion, particularly at a time of scarcity when we're cutting budgets. If you don't have a local champion, you don't get to the starting line. The magic in these things happens at the intersection of our values and relationships. And that's what Ted and Linda excel in. And I just want to thank them. We're going to have a little more SDC money going forward, I'm told, and we may even have easier budget cycles, although I'm not sure whether it's easier to carve up money or to cut money. We'll find out, but they're both hard. But this is about two people that had a vision and have stayed at it, and a city that has supported you within the limitations of their ability to fund. And I just want to thank you for your service to our community.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ted. Appreciate your advocacy.
We'll all be on that site soon.
All right, let's move to the regular agenda, item number 916.
Authorize revenue bonds for urban renewal areas.
Morning, Jonas.
Morning, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. Jonas Beery, the city's debt manager. The ordinance before you authorizes $74,795,000 in combined borrowing for urban renewal projects among six urban renewal areas within the city. The maximum amounts to be borrowed within each area are described on page 2 of the ordinance and also in the council memo. The proposed action authorizes amounts for both refinancing and for new money. I'm going to describe both of those just a little bit. As you know, the city occasionally uses lines of credit to fund urban renewal projects. When the line of credit balance is of an appropriate size, we later convert that to long-term debt that's secured solely by and paid from tax increment revenues generated within a specific urban renewal area. The city currently has a combined amount of approximately $43 million outstanding on an existing line of credit that was authorized in 2010. These balances do not yet justify cost-effective conversion to long-term debt, and so this ordinance authorizes, and that line of credit expires in December 2013, so this ordinance authorizes refinancing of those balances onto a new line of credit. Second purpose of the authorization is to provide capacity for approximately $32 million in additional urban renewal projects. This maximum amount is expected to cover all urban renewal interim borrowing needs over the next 3 years within these six urban renewal areas. It's important to note that amounts will only be drawn on the line of credit as they're needed, and draws may only be made for projects that are approved via the normal budget approval process. Any urban renewal borrowing above these amounts or borrowings for projects in other urban renewal areas will require additional separate council authorization. And should note, in addition to authorizing the line of credit, this ordinance also authorizes the eventual long-term takeout of the balances that are drawn upon. This non-emergency ordinance will be voted on next week. I'd be happy to answer questions today.
Great.
We just did some debt in the Water Bureau. We got a pretty good rate, below 3%. What's the interest rate environment you're looking at here?
We are currently, on the current line of credit, we're paying about 60 basis points, so 0.6%. That's essentially a monthly rate that's reset every month. The long-term bonds are going to vary, I guess. If we went out to the long-term market for renewal bonds today, we're probably 4.5%. I'm obviously not expecting to take these out for a year or two, so it's hard to predict.
Thank you.
Other questions for Jonas? Thank you. Has anyone signed up to testify on this?
No one else signed up.
Okay, so it moves to second reading. Okay, item 917, please.
I understand you have to leave, Mayor. Did you want to do the emergency ordinance, try to get that in before you leave? We need four for that.
Oh, I'm not leaving.
We've got
not
3 seconds and an emergency. We should probably.
I'm sorry?
We have, I think, 3 seconds and an emergency, so yeah. At least we need you for the emergency.
No, I don't believe I have to leave just yet. So
Carla, we'll just keep going for it.
Let's keep going. So let's do 917. Second reading, roll call.
Amend the Visitor Facility Intergovernmental Agreement with Multnomah County and Metro and the Intergovernmental Amended Agreement regarding consolidation of regional convention trade, spectator, and performing arts facilities with Metro.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Novick?
Nay.
Fritz?
I think this is a good deal for Portlanders, particularly for Portland taxpayers, because Portland taxpayers are not paying for it. It will be funded through visitor taxes at the hotels and motels. It's been a long time coming. It will bring a lot more business to our city, which then will provide additional income taxes, business taxes, and others for our community. And it will provide 2,000 construction jobs. It will provide 300 at least good union ongoing jobs. It's a approximately $80 million public investment for $120 million private investment, which I think is a very good deal. And I thank President Hughes and everybody who's been involved in this, and particularly Betsy Ames on the mayor's staff in the Office of Management and Finance for your great work on this. Aye.
Fish.
Every time we do one of these developments, I try to do a risk-reward analysis and kind of look at the public risk, but also the public benefit. And I've come out differently on other projects, usually because of the advice that I receive from OMF and from our finance people. And I am pretty cautious about putting taxpayers in harm's way. It led me to a different conclusion on the Sustainability Center and on the two stadium deal. On this one, while I started a skeptic, the more I learned and the more I thought about it, the more I realized that there was a pretty significant upside for our community and mostly our region. And the way this deal is structured, unlike an earlier version of the headquarter hotel, there is really limited risk to Portland taxpayers. I thought the hearing we had last week was superb. Those are the days where I go home and I say to my family, I'm surprised I get paid to do this job, because it makes me proud that we have those kinds of debates and people speak so eloquently to these issues. Ultimately, I got to a comfortable place supporting this, in part because a lot of people spent time with me explaining the deal and going through my concerns. So I, too, would like to thank Betsy Ames, not Hannah Kuhn, I'll get to her in a second, but Betsy and your team for the time you spent going over the details. This is a very complicated deal, and it took a lot of hand-holding, I think, to get the council to a point where they were comfortable. But when OMF gave the thumbs up, that meant a lot to me. I also want to thank the folks in my office, including Hannah Kuhn and others, who spent a lot of time sweating the details, as we are required to do in these kinds of deals. My vote today is a vote for the future. It's a bet on the future. More tourism, more tax receipts, a more robust convention center district, more development between the convention center and the Rose Quarter, and ultimately a more prosperous city. That's what brings me to this vote, and that is my hope for the future. Aye.
Hales.
Well, this has been a very careful process. Betsy, all of us that have worked well and hard to analyze this opportunity. I want to thank you for that work. And thank this council for carefully examining the costs and benefits. And as you said, Commissioner Fish, really an excellent public hearing where we heard from a pretty diverse spectrum of people in our community about why this is the right thing to do. We're obviously proceeding, and I think the other governments are aligned to proceed as well. Now it's important that we execute this well, that this be a success not only financially but architecturally, that this be a key part of the continued resurgence that we now have underway in this part of the city with what American Assets Trust is doing with their four-block project up the street, with what Beam Development and others are doing around the Burnside Bridgehead. This is an opportunity to really continue to lift and realize the goals and dreams for this part of the city. So I look forward to many successful conventions and to a great addition to the Portland skyline. Aye. Okay, next regular item.
Item 918, vacate a portion of Southwest Fairview Boulevard at Southwest Chaplain Drive, subject to certain conditions and reservations.
Second reading and roll call.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. 919.
Authorize the director of the Bureau of Transportation to issue a quitclaim deed for a portion of Southwest Fairview Boulevard at Southwest Chaplain Drive.
Second reading, roll call.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Item 920.
Approve findings and authorize exemptions to the competitive bidding requirements, waive performance and payment bonds, authorize execution of a development agreement with Peregrine Sports, LLC, and authorize Portland Parks and Recreation funding for the Delta Park project.
Fish. I'm sorry, Fritz. There I did. See?
We're
old habits.
Mayor.
Old
We're
habits die hard.
I stopped calling you Mayor Adams.
That's only fair.
Yes. Thank you, Mayor Hales. Probably many folks watching at home will have the same reaction that I did, is didn't we just do this? And the answer is that we did just do this. This proposed ordinance repeals the previous council action and restructures the Delta Park Field Improvement Project with Peregrine LLC to make the bidding process on the fields a more competitive and possibly more cost-effective project. So even though we thought we had a good deal before, we're now putting it back, and we had some revisions, which Todd Lifgren will be explaining to us.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. Thank you for having me today. As Commissioner Fritz has stated, PPNR is proposing to solicit competitive bids for the conversion of four grass sports fields to all-weather synthetic turf fields with lights and a sole source development agreement with Peregrine LLC. The proposed ordinance before you today will repeal the previous two ordinances, number 186059 and number 186142. While the total amounts being invested by Portland Parks and Recreation System Development Charge funds will remain the same, Portland Parks and Recreation will focus our investment of $2.1 million dedicated only to the Fields Project, which will be competitively bid, and $125,000 for PPNR permitting, design, and construction staff that will oversee the Fields Project and the building project. The proposed development agreement with this ordinance is with Peregrine Sports, LLC. They will design and construct a sports field support building that includes field support space, public restrooms, locker rooms, and it's estimated to be $400,000. Peregrine Sports will also cover any cost overruns for the building, and they will contribute $700,000 to the all-weather sports fields project to complement PPNR's funding that will be used exclusively again for the city's competitively bid fields project. The ordinance will authorize Portland Parks and Recreation to award the development agreement for the building as a sole source procurement in accordance with ORS 279B.075. And council is the local contract review board with the authority to exempt certain public contracts, including the proposed development agreement, from competitive bidding requirements. This ordinance will also authorize the director of Portland Parks and Recreation to execute any necessary agreements to accomplish the goals of the project And finally, the ordinance will approve the operation and maintenance funds necessary to care for the fields and the proposed building, same as the previous ordinances. So we are requesting that this ordinance be approved today as an emergency ordinance so this project can proceed with permitting and construction in the spring of 2014.
Great.
Thank you.
And an additional concern I read in the media was, are we selling part of Delta Park?
We are not. So all of the improvements will be owned by Portland Parks and Recreation and the city, and we will permit out the sports fields just like we do other sports fields. And the building, like I said, will have public restrooms and locker rooms that we'll be able to open up to the public when the Portland Thorns will be practicing out there, and or the Portland Timbers Youth Academy will be practicing. Otherwise, it will be open to the public and owned by the city.
Thank you. Any questions?
Is there anyone signed up to testify on this?
Oh, we have two people signed up, yeah. Mike O'Callaghan and Mark Hoffhines.
Thank you, Todd.
Come on up.
I think Mr. Hoffhines has left.
Thank you again for an opportunity to testify. I have friends that live out there at Delta Park that are qualified homeless, okay? I don't see anything to mitigate this. This is an issue of mine which I have carried for quite a few years, being on the street myself for 10 years, okay? I'm well aware of this situation here. In fact, Amanda, I went to your office yesterday because I got a notice of voluntary compliance, whatever that means, evicting me from non-parks property at 11:45 today. So I'll go back and see if parks has stolen my property yet. This is where I stay. And I have talked to parks about this for 4 years. And I am right, and Parks has admitted I am right, but still they go on non-Parks property and try to steal my stuff. Okay, I appreciate the idea of making the city safer for all. As you know, Nick and Amanda, 2 years ago when they did the homeless count, it was 1,443. And I was included for the first time in that count. So I went around for 2 weeks. And the first question I asked people that looked like they were sheltered, unsheltered, was, are you sleeping without shelter? If the answer was yes, the second question was, were you included in the survey? I got 75 people that responded, yes, I am sleeping without shelter. 15 of those were included in the survey. So you take that 1,400 people and multiply it times 5. And that's how many people we have sleeping without shelter. Okay? Now, just, it was last week, it must have been Wednesday, something like that, guy came running down the beach towards me with blood all over him, saying, call 911, call 911. So I called, the police came, 4 guys and 1 girl jumped him, and a dog beat him up, hit him in the head, cut him, kicked him all over, had to go to the hospital, right? Unsafe. Unsafe. You deny us the right to have a place like Right to Dream has, which I was involved in creating. You deny us the right to be safe. Okay? What we want is a fenced area where 25 or fewer people can live, that's self-governing, that don't cost you a nickel. But we can be safe there. Look at Eugene yesterday. Passed an ordinance doing that. Okay? Can't you do something about keeping us safe?
Thanks very much. Anyone else?
That's all who signed up.
Okay, it's an emergency ordinance. Roll call, please.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you for your work on this. Aye.
Fish?
I want to thank Todd for bringing the Grant Field project home. Commissioner Fritz and I were proud to join with the Parks family on Friday for the opening of that new turf field. I spent 4 or 5 years trying to crack the nut at Delta Park. It took Amanda 2 months on the job to figure out how to bring 4 turf fields in the Thorns. And what that means is that young people in our community are going to be able to play year-round. Right now, those fields are offline about half the year because of the weather and the poor condition. And I speak as a soccer dad that lots of kids got injured because the fields were in such poor condition. And as an extra bonus, I'll be able to take my son or my daughter out to watch the Thorns practice. So, Amanda, congratulations, and thank you for being a champion of this project. And, Todd, what can we say? I think you're a gem. Aye.
Hales.
Yeah, great work, Commissioner and Bureau, and our great partner that has stepped up to really make something wonderful happen. So, success story all around. Look forward to drier feet in many games. Aye. Okay. Item 921.
Revise pay and park and non-pay private parking facilities regulations.
Second reading. Roll call.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you for your work on this, Commissioner Fish. Aye.
Fish?
Two things, Mayor and colleagues. Between the first reading and the second reading, we did receive a letter raising some concerns about this legislation. Those issues were discussed with the team at OMF and also with our legal counsel, and it was my ultimate conclusion in response to that that the concern had less to do with the changes that we were making and more with the prospective implementation of the changes. And just to be clear, it is the city's position that the language in our code reflects the authority we've always had. The language, however, makes it clearer to both operators and the public that we have that authority. But we've always had that authority, and the reason is no private operator can issue a ticket without our consent. They can tow, but they can't issue a ticket without our consent. And it is the view of our city attorney that if you have the power to authorize someone to issue a ticket, you have the inherent power to regulate how that is exercised. That's common sense. It's how we've actually historically interpreted it. We're doing something, I think, that is actually progressive here. We're putting into the code the explicit authority we have that we've always believed was implicit, but we're being a little clearer so everyone has notice of what that authority is. I actually think that's a win for transparency. It is not our view, however, that this is a radical extension of existing authority. It is simply a restating of our existing authority. The concern about implementation, everybody, I think, is free to come before us and say they have some prospective concern about implementation. But I think the best measure of the good faith of this city and how we deal with private parking is the process that culminated today in this proposal, one that took probably close to 6 months of close consultation with impacted industry to get it right. It was not something that we rushed willy-nilly to do. And we heard some serious concerns which caused us to rethink our approach. I think that's the best insurance policy about how this will be implemented in the future. But even if that's not enough, the concerns are now part of the record. And if there is at some point in the future a live concern about how we interpret or enforce the code, then any operator is free to come to council and express their concern then. So I think having put the concern in the record, they've actually built in an additional insurance policy in terms of how this is implemented. I want to once again thank Kathleen Butner, Ann Holm, and Glenn Full of Love, one of my favorite names. Only with me, of course, they give it to me phonetically spelled, but it's Full of Love. And I want to thank Aja Blair and Hannah Kuhn on my team for working on this. It is true that I first became aware of this problem when I got a ticket and promptly paid it. But what I learned was that lots of people were getting tickets and in an unsuspecting way. And there were some counterintuitive things about it. And it also turns out there had been some media attention on this that I had missed. Armed with all that information, we came forward with a set of common sense changes. And I want to compliment the operator of the Moody site that promptly made changes, including the placement of signs and the lighting of signs, making sure that people had clear notice of what the rules are. We don't have a problem in private lots, off-street or on-street, if the rules are clear and fairly enforced. I think what we all have a concern about is if we ding someone who's unaware or unsuspecting. The action we're taking today makes sure that the rules are clear and fairly applied, and I think is progress for consumer rights in this area. I thank the team that worked so hard to bring this forward. Aye.
Hales.
Good work. Thank you. Aye. Okay, we have item 9-11 that was pulled from consent.
Amend provisions relating to duties of the Gulf Advisory Committee and lifetime passes to Gulf program employees.
I don't know if you have a brief explanation or somebody here, but I know there are some folks that were interested in testifying. I'm not sure if they're still around. Anyone here to testify on this item? Then if not, if there's no further reason to discuss it, we'll set it over for second reading next week.
Thank you.
And we are recessed until 2 p.m.